Okay, we're taking the roll now. Grace, go ahead.
Okay. Jan Goodman, KPFK listener. Jan, you're muted. Okay, we'll come back to Jan. Heather Gray, WRFG affiliate.
Here.
Good. Sabrina Jacobs, KPFA staff.
Here.
Good. Wally James, KPFT staff.
Here.
Good. Dwayne Lark, KPFT listener. All right. Ron Pinchback, WPFW staff.
Chair, this is Paulina with a point of personal privilege. Is somebody playing music in the background?
No, we don't hear any music, Paulina.
Tom does.
No. Okay. Ron Pinchback, WPFW staff. Ralph Pointer, WBAI listener. Sandra Rowland, KPFT listener. Lawrence Reyes, KPFK listener. Sean Rhodes, WBAI staff.
Here.
Good. Eileen Rosin, WPFW listener.
Here.
Good. James Sagerton, WBAI listener. All right.
Here. Yes.
Good. Nancy Sorton, WPFW listener.
Present.
Good. Alex Steinberg, WBAI listener.
Present.
Alex.
Present.
Good. Aki Tanaka, KPFA listener.
Present here.
Good. Polina Vasiliev, KPFK staff.
Present.
Good. Tom Voorhees, KPFA listener.
Here.
Good. And I'm going to go back. Vanessa Dixon Briggs, WPFW listener.
Here.
Good. Jan Goodman, KPFK listener.
Here.
Good. Dwayne Lark, KPFT listener. Ron Pinchback, WPFW staff. Ralph Pointer, WBAI listener. Sandra Rowland, KPFT listener. Lawrence Reyes, KPFK listener.
I'm here.
Good. Okay. Mr. Chair, we have four people missing. Maybe we can check to see if they're having trouble getting in.
I think Ron Pinchback is having a problem getting on. He just texted me.
Okay. Sandra Rollins also.
Sandra Rollins also.
Okay, if someone can please see if he can help those members. Also, is Lydia Brazone or IEG here?
No, she's also trying to get in.
Oh, yeah?
I'll send her the link again.
All right. Arthur Schwartz, Pacifica Council. All right. And John Tatum, our parliamentarian.
I'm here.
Good. All right. We have...
Dwayne Lark is here, finally.
Thank you, Dwayne. Very good.
No problem
is Ron Pinchback, are Ron Pinchback, Ralph Pointer, and Sandra Rowland here? Not yet, huh? Okay. So, Mr. Chair, we have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19 members present constituting a quorum.
Okay. Thank you. So the next item in our housekeeping is excused absences. Do we have any requests for an excused absence?
Not that I know of, Mr. Chair.
Okay. I think we have three members that are in process of trying to get back into the meeting. So we'll probably see them shortly. Okay. Do we have volunteers for timekeepers? We need a timekeeper for topics and another timekeeper for people. Any volunteers? Mr. Reyes, would you like to be the timekeeper for topics? Can't hear that. Okay, I don't, is he on the call?
Chair, this is Paulina. I saw Lawrence drop off the call. Yeah, I don't know. Okay.
Sandra?
Anybody else want to be timekeeper?
Sandra?
Alex, this is James. I'll take a crack at timing the speakers. Will that be 90 seconds?
Yeah, 90 seconds. The speakers, that's correct.
Do you need anyone for the items, Chair?
We do. Do you want to volunteer, Lawrence?
Yeah, I'll do it.
Okay, that's fine. Okay. Okay, then the next item is agenda approval. And let me read the outline of the agenda that we're going to approve. Agenda approval is a 5-1. Then there's a minutes approval, 3 minutes. Then there's a governance committee recommendation on bylaws amendments. That's 10 minutes. And then we are going to review and vote on the bylaws amendments. That's a 60-minute item, and that's sort of broken down into 15 minutes for each amendment. There are 4 amendments to consider. And then there's, hold on. And there's a motion on authorizing funding for a full-time position at WBAI. It's not a new position, it's just one that has lapsed, and we need to renew it. And that's followed by the IED report of 20 minutes. That's followed by a motion on a special rule limiting agenda approval to 20 minutes. That's a 10-minute item. And that's followed by a motion on the formation of a task force to produce the next Pacifica Town Hall meeting, and then we adjourn.
Okay. Excuse me, Chair?
Do we have a motion to approve the draft agenda? Before we can discuss it, motion.
So moved.
James, so moved.
Okay, we have a second.
Second. Ralph here, second.
Okay, the floor is open.
Just a point of technical point. Alex, your voice sounds very scratchy. I don't know if you moved your microphone or something. You're sounding very scratchy.
Okay. What about other people? Are other people sounding scratchy?
I haven't heard others sound that way.
Okay. I'm sounding itchy.
Well, yeah, it doesn't seem like she's sounding scratchy, so I don't know if I am.
No, you sound fine. Just Alex.
Okay. I apologize. I will improve my equipment going forward. I haven't been able to get to an electronics store.
It was fine earlier. I don't know what happened.
It might be because...
Don't use Amazon.
Yeah.
Boycott Amazon.
I'm not going to go to Amazon. I'm hoping B&H will be open, but I don't know. We have a local outlet called B&H.
Yeah. So on the open session agenda, there's 1 hour and 43 minutes allotted to us, Chair. So that's about 2 hours and 23 minutes.
Okay. Anyway, the floor is open for discussion on the open session agenda.
Chris Corey for the stack.
Chris, go ahead.
Okay. Would it be appropriate for me to suggest that the motion regarding the full-time position be moved to the National Finance Committee at this portion of the meeting?
No, you can move it, but I would oppose it because this is expiring. This position is expiring before your National Finance Committee is going to meet, and we need to take care of this right away.
Okay, I can motivate that. I would like to move to do that, and I can motivate it.
I second it.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay, so first of all, we passed a motion recently.
Yeah, actually, Chris, let me double back. It's out of order because we have you can only do that when we get to that point on the agenda, if that's still on the agenda after we've amended the agenda.
Okay, can I ask the parliamentarian if that's correct? Because I've always wondered about this particular part of agenda setting.
Sure. Mr. Tatum?
Yes, what is your question?
My question is, can I refer a motion to committee, which was just recently, like within the last half hour, added to this agenda?
The chair is right. You have to finish approving the agenda, and okay, when you come to that item, then that's when you can postpone it.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, Chair.
Sure. Any further discussion? Okay, so can we have, are there any objections then to the draft agenda? Okay, then the draft agenda is approved. And the next item on the agenda is approval of minutes for the June 11th, 2020 open session. Are there any corrections to those minutes?
Mr. Chair, this is Sandra. May I be recognized?
Okay. What is your correction?
I just wanted to make sure that, I guess I missed the roll call, so I just wanted to make sure everybody know I'm here.
Oh, okay. Sure. Okay. So I don't think I haven't heard any corrections, so those minutes are approved, and they can be corrected later on. Okay. Next item on the agenda is a report from the Governance Committee on their recommendations on the bylaws amendments. I believe Mr. Reyes is the pro tem chair of that committee. So Mr. Reyes, would you like to give a presentation?
Thank you, Chair. Chair of the Governance Committee, Chair. So I sent a report in regards to the amendments, and we had plenty of discussion on the amendments. One amendment was there was no opposition to in regards to the name change, and also to the issue of the Board of Equalization and the issue of the Articles of Incorporation. There was no dispute on that. The other minority report from members from KPFA stated that, and I'm going to look at the bylaw amendments right now, if you could just bear with me real quick. To modify the Pacifica name, bylaw bullet point C, there was a minority report in regards to the petition threshold. The minority report felt that that particular bylaw and the was also part of the minority report from KPFA, and C was part of the minority report that I distributed to the board. Both in regards to the timeline on A, it seems like the timeline was shortened. There was objections to that. And also the threshold on the modification of the amendment petition threshold process, that minority report reflected that takes a membership vote. And I believe I mentioned that earlier in the closed session. So that's the extent of the recommendations. The recommendations, were voted on, and, a report was, distributed, to all directors, via, pmb@pacifica.org. And, that's the extent of my report, Chair.
Mr. Chair, this is Grace with a point of personal privilege.
What is your point of privilege?
Okay, I'm sorry, I've lost my place. Did we approve the agenda, and did we approve the minutes as well?
Yes.
Well, okay. We just heard the report from the Governance Committee, which was the next
item. Okay, so the agenda is approved and the minutes were approved. Thank you. Sorry.
Okay, any discussion?
So, Chair, there's no question on the minority.
Robin,
hold on.
For the stack.
Robin, you want to be on the stack?
Now, Robin, I didn't talk about the affiliates motion yet.
I'm not referring to the affiliates.
Okay.
I believe that I listened to the governance meeting, and they voted down the fourth amendment, which was to codify financial responsibility. Did you report that?
Robin.
That would
I believe I did report it, but I think I reported erroneously. I believe you're correct, and you did correct me before via email. And yeah, that amendment was not supported by the governor's committee. Thank you, Robert.
Thank you.
Okay. I see Nancy's hand up. Go ahead, Nancy. Unmute yourself.
Are we still in agenda approval?
No, we're discussing.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. I was gonna offer to do.
And Chair, I'd like to report out on the affiliates motion too, Chair.
That's not really on the agenda right now. We put the governance.
Part of the governance committee report.
Yeah, we put the governance committee report to discuss the bylaws as a prelude to the discussion of the bylaws. You can have a separate governance committee report on the other items you discussed, but I think it would sort of confuse things if we went into that right now.
All right. Thank you, John.
Okay. Anybody else want any comments?
Yeah, this is Lyndon. I'd like to be on the stack.
Go ahead, Lyndon.
So, Lawrence, are you in the other people on the governance committee? Are you saying that y'all approved the shortening of number ones, two, and three, but did not approve of number four? Anybody?
And hey, Lawrence.
Sorry, I was on mute. So in regards to the shortening of the bylaws, the amendment.
Well, I was just want to reaffirm that y'all vote, the governance committee approved A, B, and C, but not D. Is that correct?
That's correct. That's correct. I believe that's the same point that Robin made as well. Thank you, Lyndon. Good catch.
Thank you.
Mr. Chan for the stack. For the stack, sorry.
Chan Goodman for the stack.
Okay. Okay. Ms. Goodman, go ahead.
I think Chris was before me, but I'm not sure.
I didn't hear him. Okay.
Chris Corey, you can go. Chris Corey was before me, and then AJ, I'll go.
Thanks. I just want to understand. So is the motion that's actually brought to the floor the one that's reflected by the committee or the one that's posted in the agenda right now? In other words, do we need to strike item D from the motion in order to bring it to the body?
You cannot amend anything. You cannot change the amendments. The amendments are up for discussion. We just heard a recommendation from the governance committee about how to vote on the amendments. That's all we've been discussing so far.
We have not gotten to
the discussion.
Thank you, Al. I understand. Thank you.
Themselves. Okay.
Jan,
go ahead.
Is now the time to discuss the actual substance of each amendment, or are we going to do that one by one, or how's that going to work?
Well, if you look at the agenda, that's the next item on the agenda.
Are we in the next item? I'm just trying to figure out. Are we in the next item, or are we?
No, we're on the discussion of the governance committee report.
I think. Thank you. Then yeah. I'll wait until.
Okay.
After.
Anybody else? Okay, then I want to thank Mr. Reyes for the Governance Committee report, and let's move on then to the next item on the agenda, which are the consideration of the bylaws amendments and amendment to shorten the amendment process. Somebody needs to read that one. Grace, will you be able to read it?
I believe so, unless Lydia put this forward, I believe. for suggesting it? Okay, but I can read it, yes. Title, Proposed Bylaws Amendment to Shorten the Bylaws Amendment Process. Can you hear me okay?
Yes.
Okay. Rationale. The Board of Equalization is now requiring Pacifica to make a minor amendment to Pacifica's Articles of Incorporation in order to complete the KPFA property tax exemption process, without which the KPFA station property is at risk. Since penalties continue to be imposed while the matter is resolved, time is of the essence. This amendment allows for a majority vote of all directors on the PNB to approve a requisite amendment to comply with federal, state, statute, or regulation. However, it also allows for LSPs to also vote on said amendments, absent time constraints. In addition, the bylaws amendment process has long been thought by many to be too lengthy. This amendment also eliminates the two ballot minimum per calendar year, reduces the 45 days to 30 days, the amendments are to be held before the earliest voting dates by the PNB and delegates, and it also reduces the station's announcements from 45 to 30 days and no longer stipulates that the LSP's vote follows the PNB vote since both are required. Either may vote first, further facilitating the meeting scheduling of both. And finally, the reporting of the results reduced from 15 to 7 days. So would you like me to read the entire bylaws?
We'll be here all night if we do that. Well, let me ask the body. Do people want this entire text to be read? It's pretty long. I think it would be better just to summarize it in the course of discussion. And if people have questions, we can deal with that. But that's just my opinion.
James for the stack.
Lawrence to the stack.
James. You know, I can read just the changes, I believe.
Okay.
It strikes out this phrase, unless the board by a two-thirds vote decides otherwise. And it also strikes out, maximum of two ballots per calendar year and substitutes that with there shall be any number of ballots per calendar year related to the amendment of the Pacifica bylaws. And then it also says all properly proposed bylaws amendments shall be held until that date, which is, it strikes out 45 and replaces it with 30. 30 days before the earliest of the voting dates of the board and of the delegates. But basically it's streamlining the bylaws amendment process. It also says that there shall be on-air and announcements on the Pacifica website for 30 days, changing from 45 down to 30 days. And then it says the results of the vote by the board and the delegates on the proposed bylaws shall be reported within 7 days of the board and delegates meetings to vote on these amendments. And it changes another thing. The PNB and delegates shall vote on the proposed amendments within the 45-day period beginning. And it changes, it makes it a 45-day period instead of a 60-day period. Instead of beginning with the voting date of the PNB, it says, strikes out with the voting date of the PNB and adds on the day following the last day of the notice period. I don't have the next page. If Lydia's on the call, she can tell me if there's anything else to this bylaws amendment that's significant.
I think, Grace, I think there's one other thing. It allows us to change some of the wording in the bylaws to conform with existing law when required. It allows that process to happen through a normal bylaws amendment process instead of a membership vote.
Okay, let me see if I can find it. That's all I have.
Yeah, this is Lydia. It's page 5. So it says, in the event any state or federal statute or regulation conflicts with the Foundation's Articles of Incorporation or provisions in these bylaws, and the existing bylaws amendment timeline is detrimental to the Foundation in the form of, but not limited to, fines and penalties, the PMB might, by majority vote of all directors, may approve said amendment in order to comply with state or federal statute or regulation. The results of said voting by the board on the proposed amendment shall be reported within 7 days of the board meeting, or in the event that any state or federal statute or regulation conflicts with any, with the Foundation's Articles of Incorporation or provisions in these bylaws, and if the implementation of state or federal regulation timeframe allows for the ballot process for adopting bylaws or bylaws amendments to be carried out by an approval vote by the majority of all PMB directors and a majority vote of all station delegates at three of the stations as described in Section 1B, 1, and 2 above, the PMB and delegates shall do so. The results of said voting by the board and delegates on the proposed amendment shall be reported within 7 days of the last meeting scheduled for the vote on the amendment. So this does stem from what was in the motivation, which was the what relates to the property taxes for KPFA, that there was something that was passed by the State Board of Equalization that was not universally known, nor has it been universally applied by their own admission. So when they catch it, they raise this issue that there is specific wording in the Articles of Incorporation that they are requiring. When I read our articles, I think it complies, but obviously they have decided it doesn't. So they've given us specific language, and because of the way that our bylaws are written, it doesn't say if you're required by law or if you're required by this, that, and the other, by, you know, state or federal or whatever, that you can shorten the process. So it doesn't mean that you just anybody can just automatically change the Articles of Incorporation. It's saying in the one instance, which is this one, where we didn't know about this until after it was brought to our attention by the Board of Equalization, which, by the way, was several years after they passed it, and they didn't apply it to the other stations and so forth. But anyway, that when the time frame and is going to result in our being penalized, then you get the majority PMB vote. But if it's going to say, okay, we passed this at the opening session of the California legislature in September, and it will not go into effect until February 1st of the following year, that would allow for at least for the LSBs to vote given the time frame in the bylaws. So that was the reason, is that we can't be out of compliance, because in the case where the taxes is costing us money, and a great deal of money. The longer, the way that these things usually work is that the longer that you take, they will only go back retroactively a certain number of years. And so in this case, it's critical. We can't get our California organizational exemption without amending those Articles of Incorporation and going through another membership vote, and the cost each time, because we don't know how many things are going to change. But the California Corporations Code is woefully out of date. Excuse me. And, you know, it was passed before they envisioned emails, before they envisioned this, that, and the other. So, how many things are going to change, at the federal, state, and local level? We never know, but we're at the mercy of regulations, and we need to be compliant, and we need to have bylaws that allow for those changes.
Yeah.
Not to mention a certain time frame.
Yeah, the time for that, for item A on the bylaws is up, 15 minutes up.
Okay, does anybody want to make a motion to extend time for further discussion? Otherwise, we have to vote on this motion right now.
Polina moves to extend.
Can't hear you, Polina.
Oh, I apologize. Polina moves to extend by 5 minutes.
5 minutes?
I second.
Second? Okay, do we have any, are there any objections? Okay.
Am I on the stack, Jay? This is Lawrence.
Lawrence, you want to be on the stack? Okay.
Yes.
Anybody else want to be on the stack? Go ahead, Lawrence.
Thank you. I just received a email from a member of KPFT, a pretty dedicated member, that said that notice of the bylaws have been aired on the station. So I don't know if anybody from KPFT could speak to that. I find it a little conflicting for me to, because I know one of the things I did on some of the bylaws in the previous year, was able to stop that amendment process from continuing because there wasn't any on-air notice. So
it's really,
I don't know if you can speak to that.
I appreciate the information. That should have been a point of information, not we're trying to debate the actual amendment right now.
Well, I think I added to that. So.
Okay. Anybody else want to be on the stack? Okay, I'll put myself on the stack then. I fully support this amendment. I think it's just common sense. It speeds up, sort of modernizes the amendment process. It's too restrictive right now. There's no reason to make it that restrictive. And it also enables us to react a lot more quickly to changes and various governing agencies that require us to put certain language in our bylaws. As Lydia pointed out, when we don't do it, it costs us money. So let's just vote this one on. Anybody else want to speak?
Call the vote.
Let's go to a vote.
Mr. Chair, can we see if there are any objections?
Yep. I think.
Yeah. Are there any objections to this bylaws amendment? Going once, twice? Okay. The motion passes by consensus. Let's go on to the next bylaws amendment. Pull that one up. That's the amendment on changing the Pacifica Foundation name. Grace, can you read that one?
Yeah, I think I can. One moment. Okay. Amendment to modify Pacifica Foundation name. The name of this corporation is the Pacifica Foundation, Inc. The INC, period, comma, was added. And it shall be referred to in these bylaws as the foundation. So the change is to just add Inc. to the name of the Pacifica Foundation. And it says, if approved, the bylaws amendment, bylaws text would read as follows. Article 1, Identity and Purpose, Section 1, Name. The name of this corporation is the Pacifica Foundation, Inc., and it shall be referred to in these bylaws as the foundation. That's it.
Okay. Lydia, would you like to provide a reason for this amendment?
Just to be consistent, this happened when we had the name change back in 2013, 2014, 2015, when someone mischievously took Pacifica Foundation, and the California Secretary of State required that we pick a different name, which we did for a time. Then we had to change it back. That's also is part of the problem with the taxes at KPSA, by the way, when you change the name and so on and so forth. And so we had attorneys that were found that you know, that was our official name and so on and so forth. And when they filed our name, they added Inc. Since then, I did hear from one attorney, which was a nonprofit attorney who said that in New York, that they, for certain nonprofits, they require ink to be added, that that's probably why the lawyers added that. We haven't challenged that, so we need to stick to it. It's how we're registered and have been since 16, and it would not behoove us to fight that ink issue right now, because each time you have to get a new organizational clearance for our property taxes. So let's just try to be consistent and add the ink so that it's consistent with how California has us registered. Thank you.
Thank you, Lydia. Does anybody want to speak on this?
Grace, I'd like to speak.
Go ahead, Grace.
One other little point. I believe Arthur mentioned, or somebody mentioned, that it's necessary to have the word ink, the word ink in the foundation name in order to get grants and other funding in New York State. So it would help us in that way also.
Okay, thank you. Anybody else? Okay, then do we have any objections to this bylaws amendment? Okay, hearing no objections, this bylaws amendment passes by consensus. And then we have the next bylaws amendment. Let me get back to that.
Okay, let me try to get that up here.
It's the amendment to modify amendment petition threshold.
Right. You want me to read that?
Yeah, I don't think that's a very long one.
No. Okay, this is modifying Article 17, Amendment of Articles of Incorporation and Bylaws, Section 1, Amendment of Bylaws. And it's point A, number 3. And it says, a petition in which the proposed bylaws amendments are endorsed by signature by at least 5%. That's changing 1%. To 5% of all members, which petition to be considered proposed must be delivered to the foundation secretary. So the change is the threshold would be increased from 1% to 5%. And also, it says the other changes in which the proposed bylaw amendments are endorsed by signature. So it changes signed to in which the proposed bylaws amendments are endorsed by signature. So in other words, it's not just a petition that says that you sign saying you're willing to have these bylaws amendments be proposed to the members. It's also committing you to endorsing them, which is also a change. And so the final wording would be, of that section is, a petition in which the proposed bylaws amendments are endorsed by signature by at least 5% of all members, which petition to be considered proposed must be delivered to the foundation's secretary.
Okay.
That's it.
Who would like to speak on this?
Grace, I'd like to speak to it.
Grace, and I see Jan Goodman has her hand up, so Jan.
Dwayne, Mark.
Dwayne.
Robin to the stack.
Robin.
Paulina to the stack.
Paulina, and I will speak on it too. Okay. That's a handful.
Okay. Okay.
Grace.
Okay. When the bylaws were originally written, there really was not much email traffic, and email petitions were not as common as they are today. So 1% made sense because it was quite a job to get 1% of the members to sign on to physically, to sign on to a bylaws amendment petition circulated by hand by individuals. Now petitions can be done very easily by email, making it much, much, much harder. And we could have demanded, I imagine, that the petitions be by on paper with an actual signature, but that probably wouldn't have been good either. So I think increasing the threshold to 5% is more logical, and it raises the bar, but actually the bar is lowered so considerably by the fact that email petitions are so easy to get people to sign and to have everything verified. It's just very simple and is not enough of a bar to encumber the foundation with a whole bylaws amendment process that might need a membership vote, which is expensive, time-consuming. The burden a larger number of members should be requesting such a change before it should encumber the foundation to the degree that a bylaws amendment process does.
Yeah, may I be put on the stack? This is Lawrence.
I saw you have your hand up. Yeah, I'm putting you on the stack. Okay, next is Jan. Jan, you're muted.
Thank you. So despite Arthur Schwartz's analysis that this does not impinge on members' voting rights, it is pretty clear to me that it does, because it changes the bar for what people have to do to vote. It's to me, it's like saying, you know, in the Civil Rights Act, that you know, requiring a literacy test before you can register to vote doesn't impinge on your voting rights. You know, if you can't register to vote, then you can't vote. And if you can't circulate a petition with the ease of the 1%, and that bar is changed to 5 times that amount, that clearly changes the voting, the members' voting rights. So I believe that this is would require going to the membership to make this change to our bylaws. Thank you very much. And therefore, I suggest that people vote no, because this is a change that the bylaws recognizes as needing a membership vote. Thank you very much.
Okay. Dwayne?
Okay, thank you, Mr. Chair. Certainly, I disagree with the previous speaker. I do believe that the fiasco that we saw previously with this bylaw effort that cost us over $100,000 is, if not enough, for you to realize that a 1% bar is ridiculously low, and nothing precludes the individuals from doing it again within the next few months. Certainly.
Lost your audio, Dwayne.
People are complaining I'm talking too loud. So thank you, Mr. Chair. I believe that I totally disagree with the previous speaker that this bar is necessary. In fact, it was a compromise with respect to the discussions that have been had among some people. I believe it ought to be 10%, frankly. Because what happened with this effort that's been made most recently, and then to lose at 63% or more that the membership said, no, hell no, that didn't make sense to have someone able to go and get 1% of the vote and force us to spend $100,000 when over 63% of the membership says, hell no, we got to do something, and we need to do it now. And whether it needs a membership vote on it, I can remember when Ford Green would give us a legal standing, a legal opinion, folk wouldn't even question him, but yet you want to question us.
Nancy to the stack.
Okay, Robin is next.
Yes, if
I heard
can
you
I
next.
Speak?
Okay, thanks.
All right. It's very interesting. You want to speed up the process, all the time limits. You apparently, I was wrong in the financial part. You don't want board members to have to pay for an amendment, but you want the LSBs and the petitioners to have a higher bar and pay this amount. 5 times is a huge increase. Now, it would be one thing to move it from 1% to 2% or something like that, but this discriminates against people that don't have internet, that aren't facilitated. And also, look, someone asked for a membership list. They wanted, which is required by California law, to give membership lists. And you wanted to give them a listserv that everyone would have to individually opt into. So you put another bar against people collecting this petition because you won't really release the membership list. This is an attack on members' rights and voting rights that should be voted down.
I was just pointing out
that somebody beat me.
Okay, next person on the stack is Paulina.
I'll pass right now, actually.
Okay, then I'm on the stack. The issue here is, what is this amendment trying to fix? It's trying to fix a real problem, and that is the ability of a small, tiny minority to game the system in order to force us into a referendum, which is costly and distracts our attention. And look, a 1% requirement, a petition, is absolutely ridiculous. You can create an electronic petition, and you can, if you had a question, should a ham sandwich be president of the United States? I guarantee you could get 1% of any group to say yes to something like that. So it's absurd. If you're gonna have a serious petition, it should at least reflect some significant sentiment in favor of what you're petitioning for. And the other thing about this amendment is it requires that the person who signs it actually affirms that they support the amendment, not just that they sign it because they think it's a good idea to have an amendment of some sort. So we paid very dearly for not having raised the threshold for this in the past. And contrary to what's been said here, there's nothing in here that violates the rights of members to vote. It simply ensures that members' rights are not violated by tiny groups of people who are abusing the process. Okay, Lawrence?
Thank you, Chair. So I just want to remind everyone that there was a minority report that was submitted by members of the Governance Committee, and they would like you to take that into consideration. As you, that's the intent of a minority report, right? The vote was to recommend a yes vote, from the committee. So I'll probably be voting yes, but I also want you to take a look at the minority report that was submitted, on behalf of some members from KPFA. Thank you.
Point of information.
Yes, Ron, what is your point of information?
You keep referring to this report. Why don't you just tell us what it is?
Lawrence, do you want to answer that?
Back to me. I'll pull up that report. If you could come back to me, I'll read the gist of the minority report.
Thank you.
Thank you, Ron.
We have to continue the stack right now. Nancy, you're next.
Okay, thank you. Okay, I just wanted to argue against a point that was made previously about this being analogous to a literacy test, requiring a literacy test to vote. It's not analogous to that. It's analogous to how you would get membership to vote, and this is not analogous to that at all. So that analogy would be if we affected the way that the members got to be members, like if we raised the from $25 to like $100, that would be analogous to requiring a literacy test to vote. And this does not affect the members' right to vote. It only changes their rights to petition for an amendment. And that is not their voting rights. That's not their right to vote. That's their right to petition, which they don't have a right to petition. That's not included in their rights. The bylaws give them, they are allowed to petition, but this does not change their right to vote, which it says they have the right to do. And everybody's clarifying points about.
Are we out of time for this?
Yeah, I'm ready to. No, we're not. I'm ready to read that report if you'd like me to.
Okay, let me.
It's about a paragraph.
Yeah, let me just ask if there's anybody who hasn't spoken who wants to speak first.
Yes, Mr. Chair, this is Polina. If I may be recognized at this time.
Okay, Polina, go ahead.
I will bring this point up somewhat unwillingly, because I am very much in favor of the spirit of this amendment. But I am concerned about the following. Perhaps somebody can clarify this. What is the difference between threshold and quorum as it pertains to members' actions? Because I believe that Article 17, Section 1B of our current bylaws stipulate that if an amendment, a proposed amendment, will affect the quorum necessary for members' meetings or actions, then a full membership vote would be required. I'm not saying that we should not go to a full membership vote, but I mean the idea is to prevent, in fact, such incredible costs as this would entail. But I just felt that it was, you know, I felt my conscience required me to bring this up. Thank you.
Well, I can try to answer that if you like. This amendment has no effect whatsoever on the quorum that it takes for a membership vote. The quorum is 10% of the membership. It remains 10% of the membership. The quorum deals with the actual voting process, when a bylaws amendment has to go to the membership. This amendment does not deal with the voting process. It deals with the petitioning process to force a bylaws amendment that has to go to the membership. It's two different things. Does that clarify anything?
Somewhat. There are two separate points under the section of the bylaws that I'm referring to. One is the one that the chair is referring to now, that has to do with voting rights. But the previous line bullet point in that bylaws section refers to how members' rights could be affected. Not right. It refers to if the amendment is to modify the quorum for members' meetings or actions. So couldn't this be construed as changing the quorum requirement for an action, namely, what's the percentage necessary to bring about an amendment from the membership, as a lawyer, even though I'm not, I appreciate
it. Paulina, the quorum only refers to the percentage of members voting that are required in order to have a valid referendum passed.
If that's the interpretation, then I'm happy about that. Thank
you. Well, I don't
know. Mr. Chair, I have a definition of quorum that I can read.
Sure, go ahead.
Okay. Quorum, the minimum number of members of an assembly or society that must be present at any of its meetings to make the proceedings of that meeting valid.
Yeah, but in the context of a bylaws referendum, the quorum specifically refers to the percentage of members that are voting.
So the last 15 seconds. So the word quorum would not apply to the threshold necessary for the number of signatures, the percentage of the membership that needs to sign by signature. Okay, great, wonderful, thank you.
Okay.
Chair, do you want me to read the paragraph on the Minority Report?
Do we have time?
Yeah, we do.
Okay, go ahead, Lawrence.
Because we didn't exhaust the time on the previous amendments.
Oh.
All right. Minority Report from KPFA. It was brought up that the fact that the proper notice was not given on the air for the amendments. Only the First Amendment was noticed on KPFA. It appears that there was no notice of any bylaws in Texas. And not sure about any other states that I work for a living, so I don't listen all day. And then the Minority Report, this amendment was voted 5-4 with one abstention, to vote yes on it. But the minority report was issued again from KPFA, cautioning that this amendment needs to be brought before the membership since it seemingly impinges on member rights. To not do so would violate the current bylaws and California law. Now, I'm pretty clear as to, you know, the opinion that Arthur gave. So I'm pretty clear as to how to vote, but I just want to make you aware that there was a minority report, and I'm in the affirmative in the committee as well. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Lawrence. Is there any further discussion on this amendment? Okay, then let's go to a vote. Well, let me ask.
Jan has a
Jan.
Hand up.
Jan.
Jan. Okay. Go ahead, Jan.
I think that Lawrence's point, the points that the minority report raised about lack of these this bylaw being aired on all of our stations in accordance with our bylaws probably means that these bylaws are not valid because of that also, and well, probably need to be just from a
technical
point of view, remade and re-noticed properly.
Let me correct that. Lawrence is expressing a sentiment that he heard from some people on the governance committee.
I understand that, but if that is correct, and I believe that it is correct, and I think it's correct in Los Angeles also, that we're just, you know, spinning our wheels here if it wasn't aired properly.
Mr. Chair, Dwayne Lawrence of the Stack.
All of the general managers were directed to play the cards on the bylaws amendments for 45 days. If some of them did not do that, they are really in breach of their responsibilities as general manager.
Not only in breach, but also that's what affects the bylaws if it wasn't done.
Mr. Chair, Dwayne Lahr to the Stack.
Yeah, I would like to hear from Lydia first, Dwayne, and you can speak.
They were notified, and you know, I was going to, because historically they've never been consistently with any of our bylaws amendments, have not been to the letter consistently followed, I might add. And we all know that. Everyone on this board is fully aware of that. But having said that, my what I was hoping to do at the time, but we didn't have the funding, and you'll hear in my IED report that we did get the PPP loan, so we could do it now, but we couldn't do it then when we started this process. But I was going to recommend that that Janet Kovrin, who was approved as an assistant, as one of two assistants as needed, that because she's so meticulous about recording and paying attention to detail, that she, I would entrust her as staff to monitor all of the stations all of the time for compliance. We can do that if we end up redoing this, but some of these comments are frankly disingenuous. But yes, all of the GMs were notified to run the carts and put it on the website, and it's been on our website for sure, on the Pacifica.org website the whole time. And there you go.
That's
what I have to say. But if there was some failure, then I will definitely include that in the evaluation for the general managers if they did not follow through.
This is Grace for the staff.
Yeah, Grace, go ahead. Wait, Dwayne was on the stack first. Sorry. Dwayne, go ahead.
Sorry.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair. I believe that if, in fact, we have been practicing, and I know there's been improprieties at KPFT for the last 11 years that I've been a part of it, they haven't been played consistently, and it has not always been the responsibility of the station manager or the IGM, for they direct it to be done, but they can't make the programmers do it. And I think anybody who know about programming, dealing with 100 or more programmers, you're going to have invariably some of them who particularly don't like governance. They simply don't play them. So you can't sanction a general manager for that if he can prove or she can prove that she gave the instructions. to get it done or to do it. And furthermore, I don't believe it, if it has been on the website properly noticed, and it has been, we can choose to extend it if we choose to. And certainly as the parliamentarian and the chair and myself and everybody else agree, just because we've been doing something wrong and inconsistently don't mean we ought to continue to do something wrong and inconsistently. But I know for a fact that in the last 11 years of my observation, KPFT, some programmers have consistently not aired as they were supposed to do so.
Okay.
And given COVID has compounded that with this COVID situation and less personnel. So anybody would know it's been problematic and who wanted to cite us for that.
Okay. Grace?
Yes, I have 2 points. One is, even if you're against this particular bylaw, to cite the not playing the on-air cards frequently enough would invalidate all the bylaws amendments, which would place the KPFA building in serious jeopardy of being sold for unpaid taxes. It's very serious. The first 2 bylaws amendments that we just approved without objection are to protect KPFA by saving its building. So I don't think we want to go there. The other thing is that raising this threshold from 1% to 5% prevents minimizes the possibility of one station, because they have a greater membership or because they can rally their members, being able to take advantage or sell another station's signal or sell another station's building. So we need to be aware that we need to have enough of a membership support across the network so that one station is not able to take advantage of other stations unfairly.
Yeah, we are at the time for this amendment.
Okay, do we want to go to a vote now, or do we want to have a motion to extend? Okay, I guess we're going to go to a vote. Are there any objections to this amendment?
Yes.
Okay, Grace, can you please take the roll?
Sure. Grace Aaron votes yes. Robin Collier?
No.
Okay. Chris Corey?
No.
Pardon me? Chris
no.
Corey?
No.
Okay. Vanessa Dixon Briggs?
Pass.
All right. Lyndon Foley?
No.
All right. Jan Goodman?
No.
Okay. Heather Gray?
Yes.
All right. Sabrina Jacobs?
No.
Okay. Wally James?
No.
All right. Dwayne Lark?
Yes.
Okay. Ron Pinchback?
Yes.
Okay. Ralph Pointer?
Yes.
All right. Sandra Rowland? Sandra Rowland? Lawrence Reyes?
Yes.
Okay, Sean Rhodes?
Yes.
Okay, Irene Rosen?
I'm going to abstain.
Okay. James Sagerton?
Yes.
Okay, Nancy Sorden?
Yes.
Okay. Aki Tanaka?
No.
All right. Polina Vasiliev?
Yes.
Okay. Tom Voorhees?
Yes.
Okay. Vanessa Dixon Briggs, you passed?
No.
Okay. All right, and I didn't hear Sandra Rowland.
Oh, looks like she's still on the call.
Maybe she's muted.
She's not muted.
She's still on the call. I don't see her.
Yeah, she's here. I'm looking at her name.
Okay, so this is... the vote, I'll count up the votes, this is the vote to raise the threshold for a petition to, create a referendum, or a bylaws amendment by a member petition to raise it from 1% to 5%. I'll count the yeses, or 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. 11 yeses, and those are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. No's are 8, abstentions are 1, I believe. Okay. This is an important vote. Let me just count, recount. Okay, I have 11 yes, 8 no, 1 abstention. Chair, do you wish to vote?
I'll vote yes.
Okay, so the final vote is 12 yes, 8 no, 1 abstention. The motion passes.
Okay.